Hello and welcome to the Cinema Clash. I'm Charlie Jewell of CharlieJewell.com.
And I'm Hannah Buchdahl of ChickFlicks.net.
Hannah, we kind of have a quick slate tonight. Three films, we'll see how long we can drag that out, but two Hollywood studio films, one on the edge, by the way, that the studio isn't really supporting, Paramount, and one kind of indie.
Yeah.
One out there indie. But let's start with the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go.
This is really funny because I was actually going to bring that. It's called La Vieille Ferme.
So in French, it means the old farm.
The old farm. And I was going to bring that when we were doing Peter Rabbit. That was my backup.
Well, I wish you would have because I didn't match it with anything. I just happened to have it.
Oh.
I didn't match it.
Well, it would have matched with Peter Rabbit.
It would have. I almost had a wine tonight called Pennywise. Because you brought up it for some reason in one of our films this week.
Yeah, we're kind of stretching it with the wine these days.
But no, this isn't even a stretch. This is a decent wine. I'm fine just, with
that's right.
Well, I'm also on my second glass. I am way ahead of you. we've got the Wizards Hornets on in the background, and the Wizards are getting annihilated at the moment. But you guys don't care about that.
Speaking of annihilated, that's for that's coming up.
That's a good. You and your transitions are really good. No, but tonight we're gonna start with a little fluff tonight. Let's start light.
Yes.
Let's start with Game Night, the ridiculous situation comedy that puts square and domesticated people where they shouldn't be, running for their lives from bad guys, yet they're still fighting amongst themselves, trying to solve their relationship problems. And surprising to me, Hannah, I laughed a lot. I really liked Game Night, Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams. You scored on this one. I didn't think I would like it because it's kind of a stupid scenario, but I dug it.
Yeah, I mean, it's silly, but it's a comedy and action crime movie. It's all of those things, which I think gave it a little extra something from your more standard formulaic comedy fare from these guys. And so, these are the guys who brought us that god-awful Vacation remake.
They did the remake of Vacation.
But they had also done Horrible Bosses, which actually was not horrible, but not horrible.
Remember Horrible Bosses 2?
And so, yeah, well, I'm not counting Horrible Bosses 2. And so Game Night falls, you know, I think it's probably even a slight notch above Horrible Bosses for this February doldrums kind of period. And it's you forget about it almost instantly, but it has some really funny moments. It's rated R, so it's for a reason. There's a bit of like bloody sort of shock value kind of things that go on, and that's the reason for the R, but I think it's a soft R.
It's co-directed by John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. John Francis Daly, for a select few of you who know what I'm talking about, he was Sam Weir on Freaks and Geeks. Some of us, there are still a huge fan base, cult following of Freaks and Geeks, the one-season phenomenon from 1999, which launched Judd Apatow, Seth Rogen, James Franco, and Sam Weir. John Francis Daly, he is now directing Game Night. We were comparing notes on this at another movie, and I laughed. You were flipping through your little notebook there, your chicken scratch, which I don't know how you know how to read. And you said, you know what I wrote for Game Night? I wrote kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And then I read what I wrote, and I said, sibling rivalry affects sperm.
Yeah, that seems like a kind of stupid little thing for you to have written, so I think I was just piggybacking on that a little bit.
Because Jason Bateman has a brother.
A cute brother.
Kyle Chandler, who breezes through town, and they have a sibling rivalry. And Kyle Chandler, Brooks, says, you know what, I'm going to give you a game night you've never experienced before. Because he always has to one-up his brother. They have this passive-aggressive rivalry. And he says, you know, someone's going to get kidnapped tonight, and the winning team will be the first person to find the victim. And you're going to have to follow the clues to do it. And then something happens. Crime intervenes. You don't know what's real. You don't know what's fake. You know there's plot twists. You actually are kind of leaning forward in your seat a little bit. At least I was, to pay attention. Because I'm going to figure it out before the big reveal. And I got it wrong. Because I didn't see, you know, I didn't get the big reveal. But maybe one too many plot twists out of the six or seven that happened.
It was a little overkill near the end there, as our friend Eileen, who was sitting there with us, she just felt that it could not have been 1 minute longer than its like 90-minute running time. And that's true. This movie could not have been any longer than it was. Although apparently we did miss a post-credit scene that I had no idea existed until after I saw the movie, and this was the time where I did not stick around. So just a fair warning to folks that if you could go to see this movie, actually wait until the very, very end, because there is a little bonus.
I heard about that scene, and I guessed it, though. It was because of you, and if you guessed right, I wish I would have stayed, because that would have been hysterical.
And I did guess right, exactly. And when I found out about it, I guessed, and I was correct. So some people can figure it out. But game night, I'm one of these people. I've done bar trivia. I did this trivia game at Manuel's Tavern in Atlanta for like over 10 years with the same group of people. My friend Jennifer hosts a game night with her husband like once every couple of months. If you've been involved in any of those things, you are going to just enjoy this movie because you will relate.
You recognize
to the competition.
The people.
Yeah,
there are people who take game night really seriously, and there are people who they just lean back and don't care. They just want to have a good time, and you can imagine what type of people are in game night. There's also an allusion to the people who never got over Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm. Kyle Chandler and Jesse Plemons are in here. We're talking Coach and Crucifictorious himself. Jesse Plemons, by the way, I think plays my favorite character. He is the neighbor that they try to avoid. Gary's a cop, and he's, you know, his wife recently left him, and he stares at you too much. There's too much eye contact going on, and he talks too slow, and he really wants to be invited to game night, but you know he would ruin game night. And that he's a minor supporting character, but he's so funny. I found myself really laughing at him.
Yeah, he was creepy to watch, and he played it really well. And he's got a little dog that plays a supporting role as well.
As you know, did you notice a lot of these comedies have just dog? You know, like there's something about Mary, and these shock comedies usually have some dog. Aside.
That's true. They really do. And this is fun for the ensemble. This actually the three couples that are part of participating in this particular game night adventure. You've got this dim-witted guy who is just, you know, the one who's just always, who knows nothing, and it just comes for, he keeps hoping that Fight Club is going to break
out. He knows rich people have game night, and on rich people's game night, they go out and get poor people to do Fight Club and bet on them on Fight Club.
Yeah, so he keeps hoping for a Fight Club, and he's always brought these bimbos with him. But on this particular night, he brings a ringer. Yeah, you know, this attractive, smart coworker who just doesn't quite know what she's there for. She thinks it's a date, but for him, it's more about just having somebody smarter on his team, I think. And then, of course, you know what always happens in those scenarios. And then there's this other couple that's been together since middle school, and they're having some issues with suddenly you find out that when they were on some very short break from their relationship, she insisted she had had some little fling with a celebrity. And so
I like that couple.
It was a fun little
They're
aside.
Played by Lamorne Morris, who's a really funny comic, and Kylie Bunbury. Now, she was on Pitch. It was like 10 episodes of the first female baseball pitch. I watched all 10 episodes, and it had Zach Morris in it, and I was very sad when it ended. So good to see Kylie Bunbury jumping over to film. And they're part of the people that we're being chased by bad guys, we're doing something, we need to find something, and they stop to have an argument about something she may have done on a break once. And that is hysterical.
It is. And it's a great little thread. I thought this movie did a really good job of developing everyone's character arcs, as minor as they might be. And so each one has their moment to sort of shine in this movie. And they are funny, but there's some like pretty major violence that goes on in parts of this film. And so you've got to, you know, if you're a little queasy, there are a couple of times where you're just like, oh, ick.
Well, after somebody gets shot and stabbed in that shot or in that bullet hole wound, it's like, there's no way you would be that mobile right now.
That's right. Yeah. Some of the things don't quite add up, but
there's plot holes in here.
There are huge plot holes, but come on. I mean, you got to expect plot holes. It's a preposterous plot. And so what makes it work is the cast of characters. It's harmless. It's not anything that you will think about later. It just is. And so if you play game nights, go to the trivia at the local bar, then you'll probably just get a kick out of this.
And we're not in the minority. It's got like 80, it's shocking. It's got like 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. A lot of people think, you know, this is really funny.
Well, and I think a lot of people just wanted something entertaining. You know, every once in a while, it's good, especially, you know, when there's so much crazy stuff happening in the world. You just want a good, solid laugh. And this film delivers on that.
So you don't have to work watching Game Night. Just sit back and it does the work for you. Unlike our next film,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to work. It doesn't give anything to you for free. In fact, you probably have to pay $20 to get anything out of it. But I'm talking about Annihilation, starring the Natalie Portman and directed by the Alex Garland. Alex Garland is responsible probably for one of the best movies of this century. We're talking Ex Machina, if not the best science fiction film of this century. It blew everybody's mind, and Ex Machina exploded and put Alex Garland on the map. So his follow-up, his sophomore effort, is an adaptation of a novel, which I guess was really famous for a while a couple years ago that I've never heard of.
Me either.
Called Annihilation. And Annihilation is a mystery. The less you know about it going in, probably the better you are. Because the first half of it, you're outside the bubble. You don't know what's inside the bubble. The mystery is what's inside the bubble. But you're outside the bubble going, why? What's inside the bubble? And that's awesome. It's so, I called it deliberate and methodical. That is not code for slow. It's not slow.
You called it deliberate and methodical. And I said, dare I say, bordering on boring.
And you were really enjoying yourself for that first half until
somebody fainted.
Yes,
in the,
we had a medical incident in our screening, like right at the halfway point,
yeah.
And got sucked out of the movie. And that's when the second half started, where you started to get answers. Those answers were tough.
But they were slow in coming. And so that second half, I was in it for that first half until suddenly the lights came up and we had to wait for the paramedics. Then I was kind of sorry I didn't just leave then. But
you're glad you stuck it out.
I know. You have to stick it out. You actually have to see how it kind of comes together. I mean, it is based on a trilogy, and so they certainly leave the options open for additional follow-up films. But this movie is incredibly divisive because there are people who...
You mean with its 94%?
Yes, because I think that 94% is critics.
Well, it is. It's a critic score.
It is. So yeah. I'm waiting to see...
Because it's awesome and gorgeous.
I'm waiting to see what the real people's score is.
It's going
to
be pretty low.
Because this is a critical choice, not a popular choice. And so there were people who... You're ahead of the game if you've read the books. And so if you already know, you kind of like that type of storytelling. It's a... You know, where it's you've sort of referenced Lost and how it kind of reminded you of that first episode of Lost.
It did.
And you're like,
yeah.
You don't quite know where this island is, what's going on the island, and it takes, you know, 5 years to unfold.
But once you learn what's going on the island, you're like,
And so I kind of felt that way about this. I mean, Natalie Portman, the cast is very good. You've got Jennifer Jason Leigh, you've got Natalie Portman, you've got, Oscar Isaac, who doesn't have much to do in this film because he plays this woman's husband who was just presumed killed in action and then suddenly a year later shows up again. And so that's really the trigger for this entire plot, is she is willing to go into this mysterious bubble in order to try and figure out what had happened to her husband and who's potentially dying. And so it's intriguing. It's interesting. Yes, the cinematography is quite beautiful. It's all about some kind of mutations that are happening. So
careful.
I'm not going to give much away, but it's just
and it's female
it
led.
Is it is female driven
in
female
a movie
led.
Like this, you expect to be with the special operators, like,
yeah.
Oscar Isaac, who goes in, you expect to see five impossible muscle bound He-Men,
that's
and
right.
to follow them and all of their guns and grenades and see them
little
fight whatever's going on
action.
In the shimmer. But we do not. We follow five female scientists. And the best line in the film is Natalie Portman when she says, she realizes after she volunteers for the mission to go in, she looks at the team and she says, five women? And one of them corrects her, five scientists.
That's right.
And it's a good team. They're all, you know, specialized in something. Jennifer Jason Leigh is the psychologist. Gina Rodriguez, Jane the Virgin herself, is a paramedic. Tessa Thompson, who we just saw as the Valkyrie in Thor Ragnarok, is the physicist. And Tuva Novotny is the anthropologist, and Natalie Portman's alongside is the biologist. And you wish you had her level of biology, because there's going to be some biology thrown at you.
Yes, but she's a biologist and Army veteran, so yeah. she can shoot a gun.
She can shoot.
And, you know, figure out cell division. Mm. So she's sort of the whole package there. But
and the preview is misleading.
Yeah, it is misleading.
It showed a lot of gore. There is gore, but it showed all the gore. And there's medical horror. Oh, my God, there's medical horror. But it's not that... It's not a horror movie.
Yes, it is. I disagree. I think it is a sci-fi psychological
horror. There are
horror
scenes
film.
Which would invade your child's soul. Because I heard they played this preview before Star Wars. Why you would play this movie before Star Wars is beyond me. But they did. And it's not a horror movie. It's a straight-up science fiction mystery.
Well, I mean, it's got shades of like a Twilight Zone episode. So that kind of reminded me of that sort of thing. We're like, all right, you don't really know what's going on. There is the combination of a real threat and the potential for bodily harm. So you don't know, like, sanity. You don't know what whether people are losing their minds or whether they're what's triggering certain things. And so I think if you definitely are a Twilight fan, Twilight Zone kind of fan, then and Arrival, which I was not a huge Arrival fan, and this movie reminded me quite a bit of Arrival. I liked Arrival, but I did not love it. And I'm telling you, there are people who love this movie with a passion and are just defending it to the death
and I can see why.
But they're also
they crave originality and creativity.
Yes, but you can't be judging people who don't
and it doesn't
like
look
it.
Like anything else.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you're gonna like it. Like
no, of course critics gonna like it. This is a critics movie.
It is a critics movie, and I my whole thing is that I'm like, yeah, but what good is that if somebody's looking for the movie that they're going to enjoy?
It's gonna tank and it's gonna fade away.
I don't think it'll tank.
Paramount Studios doesn't believe audiences are capable of handling this movie. And this is, folks,
then why did they make it?
This is a 2001 A Space Odyssey kind of thing. You know how, like, if you see that movie, the ending, and you have to explain the next 20 years of your life explaining it to people. This is a movie that people are going to be like, you're going to come to work and like, all right, explain it to me. What happened? And this is going to be on Netflix soon.
And therefore, people who might be intrigued by this whole concept, sure, can see it on Netflix.
I wish you wouldn't, though. It deserves to be seen on a big screen.
It actually is probably best seen on a big screen for the visual portion of it, and hopefully nobody passes out and they don't have to stop it in the middle. But I definitely, I didn't hate it, and I was with it. That first hour, I really was
John Armstrong, you said she would hate this movie, and she hated the second half. But she was totally into the first half.
I disliked the second half. I didn't hate any part of it. I appreciate what other people see in it, and more power to them if this is their cup of tea, but it just isn't mine.
Some people said the end, when you finally get, you kind of learn what's going on. Some people said, and I think you might agree with them, it just got odd for odd's sake.
And it dragged on. That was like the longest end that I've seen in a long time. I just felt it was dragging, and I just wanted it to end. As I had said and I had noted in my review, I just wanted to put the shimmer on dimmer.
Mm. Man, every episode of this, you get me with like two of those. That's a really good one.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it, though. Not just because Alex Garland has a lot of goodwill in my book from Ex Machina, but... Man, this is just such a different looking film. I've never seen a film look like this. Fair enough?
Fair.
All right. Now for something completely different.
Not totally different.
But, so we go from Annihilation, which what you think was a very, very long ending, blah, 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 to a 70-minute, a 70-minute film, which feels like a one-act play, mm-hmm. which I'm astounded this has never been a play. It was actually written directly for the screen, so I was wrong on guessing it. But it takes place in a room with this very close ensemble cast of characters. It doesn't go anywhere. They just talk to each other, and it sounds like play dialogue. I'm talking about The Party. The Party, written and directed by Sally Potter. It's very British, mm-hmm. very British. You do have to know a little bit about the British parliamentary system to understand this, and current events such as Brexit and the National Health Service to really understand The Party. But it's also funny, Hannah.
It's dark comedy. And so it did have some great zingers in it. I totally thought it was a play. I couldn't believe either that this was not something that came from the West End in London as a theater production that was then just staged for the big screen at some point, because it's so intimate in its setting, and it's really just focused on like these five or six characters who were part of this little highbrow soiree, this dinner party that
the intelligentsia.
The intelligentsia. And so Kristen Scott Thomas, you know, who I think she was like in The English Patient.
She was nominated for an Oscar for The English Patient.
Yeah, and she's very good. Everyone in this film was actually very good. But you do need to know some British politics, because I could not tell. I had to ask you at one point, what was she appointed to?
So there's the party in power who staffs all the, you know, you're going to be the Minister of Defense, you're going to be the Foreign Secretary. And then there's the opposition, and they have shadow cabinet. So she's going to be the shadow health secretary.
And I was like, okay, she was going to be minister of something or other. And I honestly did not know what exactly she was supposed to be minister of and how big a deal that would be. Everything takes place in this London flat, and all these secrets are revealed. Timothy Spall plays her husband. He's very good too. And he's kind of just sitting there off to the side drinking, and
he didn't say anything with the first half of the film.
Doesn't say anything for minutes on end.
The first 30 minutes, he didn't speak.
And then suddenly he reveals, it's not a spoiler.
He reveals things.
Okay, all right. No, what he reveals.
He has two cataclysmic secrets, which he doesn't until the second half, when he really kicks off the drama. But the first half is it's a narrative device, the knock on the door. Kristen Scott Thomas is hosting a dinner party, closest friends, whatever, and you meet them very cheesily as one by one they knock on the door. This is so and so. This is how they relate to so and so. That's how they do about it. Every 3 minutes there's a knock on the door, and it's effective. It works. Mm-hmm. But I saw what they were doing. Timothy Spall, best supporting actor, goes to his eyeballs. Yeah. Honest to God, I didn't know. Like, I've seen him. I really like him. I really liked him as Mr. Turner.
And his
a couple
jowls.
Years ago.
He's got like good
He's
jowls.
He's so squinty. But in this one, his eyes are wide open the whole time. But the guy who does the heavy lifting and the big winner of the party, I think, is Cillian Murphy. Mm-hmm. The guy who rushes in, goes in the bathroom, snorts a whole bunch of coke. He's got a gun. And you know, Chekhov said it, if there's a gun, it's going to be used by the time it's over. You don't know, you know, it's revealed later why he's so upset, why he's snorting so much coke, why he's so nervous with a gun. But I really like Cillian Murphy in this.
Yeah, he was very good. But my favorite, my standout was Patricia Clarkson the best friend.
If she's your favorite, do tell why this American is hanging out here, by the way.
Well, I don't know exactly. I don't know if I even caught why this American happened to be her best friend at this party. But she gets the best lines of dialogue. And she is this acerbic, cynical American. And I loved everything. Every time she opened her mouth or rolled her eyes, she brought along like her German boyfriend. She just was the comic relief at various points throughout the unfolding of this drama comedy. And I just, I really appreciated all of her lines. So it was definitely very British dialogue, snappy, witty, smart, but definitely a movie for those who like a play, like maybe Fences. If you really enjoyed watching Fences with Denzel Washington, and that felt like a stage play because it was, this one is an abbreviated, a nice tight 70-minute mystery drama satire.
And
social
it's shot
satire.
In black and white. Mm-hmm. For whatever. It's crisp. I love black and white films, and it looks great. There are some amazing black and white shots in here. And it was shot only in 12 days, and actually was shot during when Brexit happened. So, there's a political undertone to this film. And I'm only giving it a slight recommend. It's amusing. I really like the end. I mean, there's a gut punch at the end when you finally put it all. The last puzzle piece clicks into place in the last second of the film. And you're like, oh, now it all comes together, and the whole 70 minutes have just wrapped up, and it's complete, and I get it, and it's perfect. But it's a trifle. Yeah. It's, I don't know what Patricia Clarkson's character is doing in there, but yeah, there's some fun stuff.
I completely agree. I would not have anyone run out and go see this. It's for a select arty crowd.
It's for your parents. It's for my parents.
I don't even know.
Well, you know what? They probably wouldn't even understand it. You have to be kind of...
You do. You got to be in the whole...
You got to be really contemporary to handle this.
So, and that's what makes it a little odd, is that you have this very contemporary story in this black and white wrapper with, it feels old school. The whole movie feels very old school.
Well, most of them are in their 60s, except for Cillian Murphy and, I think, Emily Mortimer.
Right, because then you had this academic, this lesbian academic who brings along her pregnant girlfriend, and so something.
There's an age difference there.
There's a big age difference, and so they're having some issues. So everybody's basically dealing with their own issues as this soiree attempts to go on and unravels then into a deeper mystery. And I did feel that it was a little too all neat. The beginning, the end, it was structured in such a way that it really is a one-act play.
Well, but it wasn't neat, like, plot-wise, because everybody arrives together but unravels by the end. Like, if you have a stable relationship, well, you're not going to have one soon enough, because all your secrets somehow are just going to come out in this party.
Not the best party to attend if, I think game night's a little more fun.
But it's the antidote, it's the antithesis, if you will, to Black Panther. If you're tired of blockbusters and these major studio films, this is the movie for you. This is a brief cinematic inhale.
It is, but since it's only 70 minutes, you almost feel like, do you really want to bother paying to go sit in a theater when, if you have a large screen TV...
Well, some people, like Hannah, do not like movies that, have any amount of running time on them. So I figured you would love this movie.
I did. I mean, I did appreciate that it was 70 minutes. And I like the movie fine. I would send artier folks to it. I think I enjoyed it in parts. But overall, it's not, certainly not a mainstream movie.
Now, you're right about who you would send to it. I mean, they're both comedies. Game Night and The Party are comedies, but the audiences do not mix. You cannot send someone who enjoys Game Night to The Party. They just wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
So we talked about three movies tonight, all very, really different. Game Night, Annihilation, and The Party, and easily, by far, my favorite film was Annihilation.
And I know that I'm supposed to say Annihilation.
No, you're not. I know you. You're not supposed to say Annihilation.
So I will say Game Night, but only by... I only give Game Night a slight edge because I do
I think your favorite film of the week was Annihilation the first half.
Yeah, I'll go with Annihilation the first half, and a special shout out to the paramedics who were able to revive and remove the patron who passed out.
By the way, I noticed she walked out with her soda in hand and afterwards came back in. She came back in.
I missed the fact that she came back in. So she really wanted to see how it wrapped up.
She got to know what's going on in the show.
She's the one that I would then really want to know. Overall, how is this film for you? So the fact that, for 20 minutes, the rest of us sat around waiting for
her. But she wasn't
the
only one. Like one of our fellow critics wrote in our forum that, he was feeling something too. Like he wondered if there was something in the film that was something like affecting you mentally. I wouldn't put it past Alex Garland to have done something to me.
To have emitted something. It's like 4D experience. It was warm in the theater, so that could have been part of it. But and I actually found it very soft. It was so soft focus throughout a lot of it that I kind of wondered at the beginning whether it was, whether it was purposeful or whether there was a focus issue. And I guess it was just me, and it was purposeful. So there you have it.
Well, regardless, there's something for everybody this week at the box office. So on behalf of the Cinema Clash, thank you very much for listening. I am Charlie Jewell.
I'm Hannah Buchdahl.
Thank you.
Take care.